from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No more questions. Goodbye, everybody.
Gerard, see you in Cincinnati.
Gerard has left the building. We'll see you in Cincinnati. Chowing down on some, what's that stuff they eat out there? That chili?
Skyline chili.
What is that, by the way? It's like chili with spaghetti? Is that it? Is that all it is?
Yeah, I've never had it. It's something like that.
I mean, is that even like a thing? Like chili and spaghetti? That sounds
kind of a meat sauce.
That sounds disgusting, yeah.
Oh, I would eat it. It doesn't sound disgusting to me.
Chili?
I would absolutely. You don't like chili?
No, I like red sauce with meat in it. I mean, not on spaghetti.
But do you
I'll
like
have chili.
Chili?
Yeah, sure. If it's like, I need to be in the mood for chili. Right? Like, it needs to be the right conditions to eat chili. I'm not just going to eat chili. It has to be like a cold day, you know, or like going to someone's house for a football game or something. There's a big bowl of chili. I can't just like eat chili.
No, I don't think you have it on a daily basis.
It has to be the very right conditions to be eating chili. But like,
you are high maintenance. I have
chili on
that.
Top of spaghetti.
I'm realizing more and more you're a high maintenance fella.
Yeah, well, we're on to Cincinnati.
I guess so. You know, like There's other types of, bolognese sauce. I'll take that over chili if we're talking about incorporating it with pasta.
But it doesn't bother me. It's just a heavier sauce.
Sure.
Gravy,
but if that's the dish that your region is known for, I just sort of feel like, you know, just to keep it to yourself. All right?
Well, I mean, not everybody has lobster and chowder. Are we better than them?
We are better than them, yes.
Are baked beans good?
Yeah, they're fine. I don't even really think they're like a Boston thing.
You've never had baked
no,
beans?
No, I have them all the time. They make me very gassy, and I generally regret it.
They are the musical fruit.
Yeah. Yes, it gives me issues.
That is what happens. Chili does that to me, too.
Well, because a lot of chili has beans in it.
I eat some chili. I am ripping ass. Like, that's happening.
Okay. There's
no question about it. Anyway, we have a lot to get to here in this 4 o'clock hour as we continue to discuss what Gerard Mayo was saying there on his way to Cincinnati. They'll be in Cincinnati in 2 weeks as they get ready for the Bengals, who are having some issues of their own, but we're talking about the Patriots' issues right now. And the main issue, I think, from all of this is he's not going to say it, obviously, because we know that he's handling this in a very mature, very earnest kind of way. But if I'm Drake May and I just won this competition and I'm still getting relegated to backup quarterback while I'm watching my peers all go out around the NFL, guys who were drafted ahead of me, guys who were drafted behind me, all starting for the teams that drafted them. Meanwhile, here I am stuck behind Jacoby Brissett. I'm secretly pissed. Like, I'm going home. I'm, you know, stewing about it. I'm yelling about it with my brothers and stuff and saying, what the hell is wrong with these guys? Why don't they see that I'm the better choice here? Why aren't they playing me?
As you should be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, publicly, you're saying all the right things, like you have said, if you're Drake May. But he may also look at it and say, which situation is worse than mine? Mm. Let's go back to the situation thing. Aren't all the other situations better? Even Denver.
Yeah.
Better coach, right?
Better coach.
Or more proven offensive coach, offensive mind, system.
I don't know what the Broncos O-line is, but it can't be worse than the Patriots, I don't think.
Nobody's worse than the Patriots.
Right.
I'm just going to assume everybody has better receivers and better offensive line than the Patriots.
Okay. The Broncos have Mike McGlinchey, who was a big free agent signing from last year. All right. He was a free agent. They spent the money on him, and now he's there. He's their right tackle, not their left tackle.
Don't they have another badass? Didn't they draft that fat guy at Division III?
Garrett Bowles.
Is that him?
They drafted Frank Crum.
Crum?
Frank Crum is the offensive lineman that they
Crum
drafted.
Crum where?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know where he came from. But he's one of their drafts.
But no, am I wrong? If he were a...
Wyoming.
Honestly looking at the other situations, wouldn't he say, well, Jaden Daniels has Terry McLaurin.
Yep.
That's a That's a number one receiver. That's a really, probably, maybe one of the most underrated receivers.
I think he's one of the more underrated receivers in the league, for sure. Absolutely,
right?
I do.
And you
they have a bad O-line.
Yeah, their O-line's not great.
Yes.
But you also have a proven play caller, correct, in Cliff Kingsbury?
Yes.
For whatever he is.
I mean, you have a guy who...
He's proven.
He's proven what?
I'm not sure he's great.
Yeah.
He was the talk of the world a couple of years ago, and then it kind of petered out. He failed in college and failed upward to get the Cardinals job.
That's what I'm saying. Like he failed upwards, and then he went to Arizona. Was supposed to be this great offensive mind, and that was a disaster.
And he's a lot more experienced. He's called a lot of plays, as opposed to Alex Van Pelt, who has not.
Right.
I just think if you really break it down, now Chicago, I'm not sure I love the coaching situation. My guy Shane Waldron in his first year there, mm-hmm. you got a head coach kind of fighting for his life probably. But
you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
Loaded it up around him.
Absolutely.
And Cole Kmet. Don't sleep on Cole
Kmet. Right.
I think Cole Kmet's a good young tight end.
Absolutely,
I think he's really good.
He was a big fantasy tight end last year.
So,
if
you're really looking at it kind of objectively from afar, you're swimming upstream, and you probably, as much as you want to play, and as much as you probably think, oh, well, I'll overcome my left tackle, and I'll make those receivers look better, you haven't so far, because you've hit them in the hands and they drop it. They haven't been able to make plays for you. So there's a developmental process to this offense around you that also includes you. So, yes, do I think he should think he's the starter? Yeah. Do I think he should trust his talents and have that ultimate confidence? Yes. I also think there's probably some of him. Do you think there's anybody that has no fear, literally has no fear?
In the any quarterback in the
just
league?
Just like quarterbacks, athletes. Doesn't everybody have a little doubt somewhere? So like deep down, probably you don't want it to be like a high percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He probably says, yeah, it's probably not the
Josh
worst.
Josh Allen plays like he doesn't have any fear.
Right.
Yeah.
But I bet you he still does.
The back of his mind, yeah, probably.
And I bet you there's a little bit of Drake May that's like, it's probably not the worst thing in the world if I'm a little more comfortable and maybe that line gets its ish together and isn't running into each other in front of me when we're running plays. Like deep down in places where you might, your dad, you have a conversation, he calls his dad and just says, yeah, I'm disappointed, even though I told the media I wouldn't use that word, I am disappointed a little bit. But there's also a reality to it that it's probably not the worst thing in the world if I sit and watch and let them come together for a month.
Right, and not get blamed for this awful start that we're about to get off to.
Right.
Right, yeah, I guess that makes some sense. But still, you know, competitor, number 3 overall draft pick, I'm sure he wants to play. I'm sure he doesn't feel great about it, and I don't think it's going to ruin him or anything. I heard Jones and Keefe saying, well, you know, if he goes out there and plays and he's not good, that could ruin him, but if he doesn't play, could that hurt his confidence? It could a little bit, but I don't think it's going to ruin him. He doesn't seem like that kind of personality.
You don't break a diamond.
Yeah.
You cannot break a diamond, and I believe he's a diamond, and Tom Curran, we don't always agree on things. He just agreed. There's been a lot to like from what you've seen in the totality, to use Gerard Mayo's word, the totality of Drake May from draft day to today. Literally the last thing he did, talk to the media today. The totality of that experience, I think, has been almost nothing but positive. He's looked really good. Yeah, did he have a slow start to camp?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not fair. The other guy knew the test. The other guy had all the answers. He's taken the class before.
Yep.
Wasn't fair. When he got up to speed, when he studied a little extra and took some notes, he blew by the other guy. So, you should be excited about Drake May.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's get to your phones. Joe is in Melrose. He's been waiting a while. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Joe. What's up?
I got to push back on Tom Curran a little bit. That taking Drake May at 3 was absolutely the right decision. And the whole reason that this decision was made was because of the Patriots' offensive line. When I was waiting to tee off this morning and the news broke that Drake May wasn't going to be the starting quarterback, everyone collectively groaned. And so the thing is, I mean, eventually, football is about brutal honesty and sports about brutal honesty. When the defense is like on the field for, you know, because the Patriots are losing the time of possession battle 2-1, the offense keeps going 3-and-out. Eventually they're going to go to the offensive line saying, we can't play our best player because you guys can't get your act together. And like Gerard Mayo is going to have to like put that fire out.
Probably.
So Jabril Peppers is going to be fighting Verdarian Lowe and blaming him for May not playing and for them not having better chance to win.
This defense is going to have to get used to being out there a lot. You know, I mean, they're not going
to
be able to take their helmets off. Like they're going
to
be ready to turn around and go right back. Yeah, exactly.
They played this
same thing. Yeah.
We heard the comments. Remember, wasn't it Jonathan Jones, our guy, that last year was like, well, I guess we have to give up less than 6 points in a game or whatever, however the way he phrased it. They've been through this before. I'm not saying it's not going to strike a nerve. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
But I think what Tom said, the kick thing, if you can end with a kick, And now, obviously, the kick you want is the PAT, Joey Sly kicking a PAT or a field goal. But if the kick is a punt, that's better than some of the crappy situations turnovers put them in last year, right? So just avoid the turnover. Now, I'm not totally sold Jacoby Brissett's going to do that based on what I've seen this summer, because he hasn't been doing that this summer. But that is the first goal. Don't turn it over. Mm-hmm. Then maybe punt. And then if you could, maybe gain some yards before you punt, so we play a little field position. And then maybe if you could, maybe kick some field goals at some point. There's going to be a process here. But I think that defense, that's the one benefit. The coaches and the players, most of them on that defense, have lived this.
Yeah.
So they can't pretend they don't know what's coming.
Their best chance at winning any games this year is going to be winning, like, field position battle games.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like, all right, well, we crossed the 50. We're punting them back into their own end, and we're just going to defend and hope that we can, you know, squeeze a field goal or two out of it. It's going to be brutal.
And that's what Gerard Mayo told us. We're going to lean on our running game. Ugh. We're going to lean on our defense. We're playing a veteran quarterback. You don't think that's part of that? Don't turn it over. Don't make dumb mistakes. Because I guarantee you, Drake May, as much as we all want him to play, if he played the first month of the season, I'm going to say minimum two pick sixes.
Yeah.
And I love him as much as anybody. I'm just telling you, there would be pick sixes in there. Because that's the way he plays, and he still trusts his arm a little too much and his off-platform a little too much and all those things. And I think their hope is there'll be no pick sixes with Jacoby Brissett. Maybe only one pick.
Jacoby Brissett's the only one who threw an interception. Well, I guess he's not the only one, but between him and Drake May, he's the only one who threw an interception in the preseason.
And it could have been a pick six. I think the guy got tired and gave up.
Yeah. I mean, it absolutely could have been. Interception in the end zone, or it could have been a pick six. Absolutely.
It was a 14-point swing, potentially.
And I'll say this. May, it was a lot of checkdowns and things like that, but when he went downfield, it didn't seem like there were a lot of 50-50 balls that he's lucky his receiver got it and the defender didn't get to it. He was throwing it away from those defenders. He was putting it where only his guys could get it. They didn't always get it. But
they often didn't get it, actually.
Yeah, especially when he was targeting Baker. But like, I think that caught my eye. You know, he wasn't being reckless with the ball. He was even on the throws downfield, which are, in, you know, just by definition a little more reckless than a short check down, he was careful with those.
And it's interesting you bring that up from your perspective, as opposed to, like, I was there every day, and I'm not saying that to be a douche. Like, I was there every day, and I know more than you.
Your perspective, it doesn't mean anything, because weren't there.
But I actually can't think, like, there were a couple throws. There was one, he hit Kyle Duggar in stride on the way to the end zone. And it was probably earlier rather than later, probably the first half of camp, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And you're right, maybe those tailed off a little bit. Maybe those weren't quite as prevalent over the second half of training camp practices.
I never saw one in a preseason game.
No, and I didn't either, and you're right. There, and that's why I'm saying maybe me guaranteeing there would... I still think, because he's got a little gunslinger, I can make this throw.
Mm-hmm.
The one that gets him is, I'm throwing to the left. Ooh, a guy flashed in the middle. I'm just going to flat foot sidearm throw it across the middle.
No. Don't do that against some of the safeties in this league, because they'll be dancing and embarrassing you on national TV.
Steve is in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
How are you guys?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I wanted to give us some sobering statistics. Sobering for the fans and some idea of why the Patriots act the way they do.
Go ahead.
The NFL has a $10 billion TV package. That's $1 billion a year. Mm-hmm. Each team gets $330 million. Last year, the Patriots were 31st in cash spending. They signed all these Jags. They moved up to 11. So they spent $220 million on the payroll.
Yep, on their own guys mostly, but yeah.
That's still $100 million to the good. Repeat, $100 million to the good.
Mm-hmm.
That's before tickets. I did a down and dirty on tickets. It's about $100 million. It's about $10 million. It's big numbers. It's $108 million for the general admission ticket.
Okay, what's the point, Steve?
And you got to assume they're $200 or $300 million over. They have contracts for the TV, $300 million. They have contracts for the boxes and the club seats at varying amounts of time.
What are their expenses?
And they have a waiting list for the season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly how long they can. They could be no wins for the next 5 years. It does not affect their core business. Of course, it affects if people don't show up for parking. Of course, it affects if there's 10,000 less people in the stadium. They're not buying a Coke, a beer, or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
Pepsi
this is
stadium.
They have it down. They're insulated from bad business.
Okay, I mean, listen, maybe you're onto something there. I don't think that the Patriots are a great team to make that example out of, because the Patriots before Tom Brady got here were, I mean, we remember what Sullivan Stadium looked like. We even remember what it looked like before they built out Patriot Place, you know, mm-hmm. and it was just Gillette Stadium. That was not, it didn't look like how it looks now. That all got built there because of tremendous fan interest and because of people, you know, buying jerseys and Tom Brady and sort of all that other stuff. So, you know, I understand, like, the business of football is one that's way over my head, and I'm not going to, you know, sit here and listen to all the numbers and everything all day, but it's not the Patriots. The Patriots and that ownership group, they built something down there, and they didn't build it off of being insulated from fans not caring about the team.
Right.
Fans care deeply about the team, and that's how they were able to build up what they have down in Foxborough.
So I think the Crafts are very good cutthroat businessmen. I think they look to make money.
Yep.
I think that's how they turned the craziest, what do you spend, $175 million into now they're worth $10 billion or mm-hmm. whatever. Like, they're smart. They're cutthroat. You have to be in business to succeed. They've been very successful. I want to ask you a question. I don't know how close we are to up against it, but do you believe Robert Kraft is still a passionate fan with a passionate desire to win?
No.
You don't?
No.
You still think it's all business?
I still think he presents that way, but I don't
think... Oh, he definitely says it.
I don't think that that's the way he's run the team here for the last couple of years, no.
See, I'm not sure they ever aggressively spent money. I think that's one of the great miracles of
Fair enough. The way
they did business.
Sure, and they didn't need to. I mean, so that's
so
it.
So they were teased into thinking, wait, I can make a lot of money and mm-hmm. win, too. I don't have to overspend. I don't have to take risks financially.
That's how you go from $175 to $10 billion.
Right.
So, yeah.
And they are spending money. Like, Steve, if you're going to count all the numbers, how much did the big new club in the end zone and the TV and all that, and I know mm-hmm. fans don't want to hear that, but it costs money, right?
Yep.
Lighthouse. Millions? They're building a new indoor facility, a training facility that's going to be $50 million.
A little playroom for the kids now and all that
stuff.
All
those things cost money.
A new screen, all that, yeah.
They got to pay all their employees. Like, there are costs involved if Steve really wants to do like an accounting audit of the team.
But his point was that it's all still going to...
It's a good business. The NFL, good business.
Out. Yes, it definitely
There's a reason Josh Harris spent whatever billion to buy the Washington Commanders, a team that's been fledgling and floundering for a long time, because
mm-hmm.
it's a good business. There's a reason that these venture capital people want to get in, right? They just approved you can, 12%. Those people don't invest in things they believe aren't going to make money.
True.
They invest in things that they believe are going to make them good money, right? That's smart money, make money kind of thing, aggressive money.
Yeah.
But the thing I find most interesting is back to you, because I still think somewhere down deep, Robert hates losing and Robert wants to win. I really do. I really do. And I do think he was lulled into a false sense of, but I can do both. I can make a lot of money and not have to overinvest and not overspend. And then he learned a little bit of a lesson in your 2021 year. Remember afterwards he talked about not getting return on investment?
Yes.
The Jonnu Smiths of the world, mm-hmm. the Nelson Aguilars. And I think he learned that lesson. Like, spending can be 50-50 at best at times.
And that's true. I mean, listen, mostly when teams spend, like the Jets, I remember went crazy in free agency one year. They got a bump in one year, and then they fell off again.
Right.
And that's often what happens when you see big spending sprees like that. But that doesn't mean you don't spend at all for the next three seasons.
No, and then the other thing that's a detail or a layer to this, the onion that we're sort of peeling back, is the poor drafting keeps you from spending.
Right.
The better you draft, the more money you have to spend in year four and year five, because mm-hmm. those guys want new contracts.
Yeah.
N'Keal Harry.
Or at the very least, in their rookie deals, you don't have to spend at that position for a while because you got him for cheap. And then eventually you do. But
like, I mean, like a N'Keal
there's
Harry.
There's a buffer zone.
Shouldn't
there.
N'Keal Harry be a $130 million wide receiver right now? He was a first-round wide receiver, what was it, 4 years ago?
Five years? 2019, yeah.
So he should be a $100 million receiver. That changes your books, right?
Yep.
But he sucked so bad, you wanted out from underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Strange. Is he going into year three? He should be a guy looking for a contract. I'm not sure he's even looking for a future job with this team. So when you blow your picks, you don't have to spend that money. Isaiah Wynn, if he was your franchise left tackle, isn't he making like $85 million right now?
Yeah.
Instead, he's not on your team. So that's another layer to this. When you draft so poorly, you don't spend money. Because they used to sign people. I know the MO is they didn't. But they gave Richard Seymour a great draft pick, a great contract. And Vince Wilfork got a lot of money. And Logan Mankins, he had to fight for it, and you got to tooth and nail it with Bill Belichick. But eventually, you got $55 million. When you draft sucky players, you don't pay them.
Nope. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. Here is Jackson to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, we will take a look at an ESPN list of predictions for the upcoming season. Spoiler alert, not great for the Patriots. Here's Jackson.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI. Trending brought to you by Time Out Market. Today, the Patriots and head coach Gerard Mayo have announced that Jacoby Brissett will be the starting quarterback this season. And it's back-to-back wins for the Sox after last night's victory over the Toronto Blue Jays at Fenway. Starter Brian Bayo went 8 scoreless innings, gave up only 2 hits, and struck out 9. Kenley Jansen closed it out in the 9th, earning his 25th save of the season. The Sox are 3 games back in the final wildcard spot right now. And you can hear the call of the series finale right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch is at 7:10. Our coverage starts at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show, starting with Joe Weil. And Time Out Market is Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Art Ken. That's Andy Hart. By the way, we're not at the Fenway Ford Clubhouse today, but if we were, it'd be brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox, who are playing tonight. The last game of this series, this never-ending series here with the Toronto Blue Jays, as we will see them try and climb the standings even more as they are now 3 games back. This one tonight is going to see Cutter Crawford going against someone named Bowden Francis for the Blue Jays. He's actually having a good year, 7-3 with a 4.02 ERA. I don't know much about him because I haven't watched that many Blue Jays games. But should be a good one there tonight. 7:10 start time, 6:10 with the Mass Mutual pregame show, and Joe Weil coming your way right after we're done here.
Did you see the news from the Red Sox?
I did not.
This may have been in the trending. I'm not going to lie, Jackson. I may not have been listening. Red Sox placed infielder David Hamilton on the 10-day injured list with a left index finger fracture.
Interesting.
And they brought up Nick Sogard.
Yeah, okay. That one got by me, sorry.
I was adding a little something. I was complimenting and supplementing what you provide.
Yes, we're a team here, right?
Teamwork makes the dream work here in the afternoon show.
Sure does. All right, there you go. David Hamilton out for at least 10 games.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
That's part of the core.
He's been a pleasant surprise this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not
even
someone
Cora,
that,
when I asked him yesterday, was like, we didn't know Hamilton was going to be here.
Right. And Hamilton, when he started, I mean, really, like, all anyone could think was, this guy's our shortstop? Like,
oh,
this guy, he cannot field the position.
He couldn't play.
And now he's on the IL, and we're all like, oh, geez, that's a tough loss for this team.
Well, it just feels like it goes along with my tease thing. Like, you got a little momentum after a couple wins, and you feel better about them. And part of it, he's been stealing bases, and he made a nice defensive play last night. I was watching Casas, like, backhanded. It deflected off of him, and Hamilton scooped it. Boom, threw to first. You get the out. That's one of those plays. If he's not there, then later, you know, you give up a couple runs and you're like, oh, defense catches up to him again. But he kind of was right place, right time, right play.
And then, yeah. I've been getting a lot of tweets about Skyline Chili.
What about it?
Arcan, Skyline Chili is a hot dog chili. It has no beans and smooth consistency other than the ground meat. They also add flavorings like cocoa powder and cinnamon. It's not what you make on your stovetop in the winter with onions and peppers in it. That sounds disgusting.
Hot dog chili? What does that mean?
Hot
goes
dog,
on top of a hot dog, or it's made from hot dogs?
There's no beans.
I guess the meat in the chili is hot dogs, and they add chocolate and cinnamon to it.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
That honestly sounds like eating diarrhea.
I liked it better the way you described it, when it was chili on top of spaghetti.
Well, that's what I thought it was. Now that I know what it actually is, it sounds even more disgusting.
I bet you there's some place that has chili on top of spaghetti.
Sure. You ever been to that Cincinnati airport? You know, it's not even in...
It's in Kentucky. It's little known fact.
Right.
Andy Rooney just stopped in, Cliff Clavin.
I was flying back from school one, I guess it was winter's Christmas, I think. And we got delayed out of Denver, and the layover was in Cincinnati, and we missed the connector. So I just spent the night in Kentucky. And when I tell you, it was unpleasant. It was unpleasant. I didn't eat any food. I didn't eat any of this gross diarrhea chili or anything. But if I had, I'm sure it would have been even worse.
Yeah, I think I went to a really good barbecue spot there in one of the Patriots trips, because we always stayed right by the airport there, or often stayed by the airport there in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have bad thoughts. I believe I was called a honky by a cab driver.
Really?
Yeah.
I think like
Paul
Perreault,
Fred Kirsch, and he didn't care for you honkies or something. No, I didn't take it as... I don't think it was a term of endearment.
Well,
but that's all I took from my...
It all depends on how you say it, you know? Like, hey, you honkies, come on, get in my cab, you know, something like that.
That's true. We were giving him a fare.
Or if he's like, hey, you honky-ass honkies, get out of my cab. It depends. If they're inviting you into the cab or kicking you out of the cab, that depends on what the honky sort of... You know, what you emphasize with the honky.
Maybe I'll text Paul Perreault and see if he remembers. I'm going to get the rest of the story.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I teased a ESPN prediction list. It's not great. It's Dan Graziano, who is the NFL senior national reporter. And this is one of those ESPN login things. So excuse me here while I enter my Disney password.
1, 2, 3, 4, ABCD.
Get this one going. Yep, there it is. Very nice. Predicting potential 2024 surprises for all 32 NFL teams.
Okay.
Here is what he wrote about the Patriots. These all start with like the sentence, you know, don't be surprised if, and then it goes, the Patriots do this, the Jets do this, the Bills do this, whatever. Don't be surprised if the Patriots have the number one pick in the 2025 draft.
I'm going to be surprised if they don't, Dan.
I mean, that's a surprise. I feel like that's what most people are expecting. Here's what Graziano writes. What I'm hearing, the Patriots know they're short in several key areas, most significantly the offensive line. That's one of the main reasons that despite his outplaying veteran Jacoby Brissett in the preseason, Drake May will open the season on the bench while Brissett gets the starting nod. I believe you'll see May as the starting quarterback at some point, but right now the Patriots are still trying to answer questions about the group around him and make sure he's not in a position to drown in negativity when he does get in there. New England went into camp thinking its defense would be the thing that keeps it afloat, but the loss of Christian Barmore potentially all year and the trade of Matthew Judon have thinned the Patriots out badly on the defensive front. ESPN's Football Power Index rates their schedule as the toughest in the league, and you can see why right away. In September alone, they have the Bengals, Jets, and Niners on the road, as well as the Seahawks at home. FPI also says the Patriots have a 21.9% chance to land the top pick. That's the highest in the league.
Seems low.
22%, I'd say. I'd knock that up to like 42.
Because
I think it's probably more.
Last I checked, the Red Sox had like a 19% chance to make the playoffs, and I think the Patriots have a much better chance to get the number one pick than the Red Sox have of making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. By the way, just for reference here, these other surprises, like for the Bills, don't be surprised if Khalil Shakir is their top wide receiver this season. For the Dolphins, don't be surprised if Jalen Waddle catches more balls than Tyreek Hill. And for the Jets, don't be surprised if they lead the league in sacks. So, like, those are the general surprises that you're seeing. For the Patriots, don't be surprised if they suck worse than any other team in the entire NFL, which would not surprise me, and it definitely wouldn't surprise you.
If you go 0-17, pretty good chance you're getting the number one pick.
Yeah, I'd say
people
so.
People getting really mad at me. Some guy yelled at me on Twitter about that.
About 0-17?
This is the kind of take that makes you sound like a moron of all morons and blah, 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 blah. All right. Talk to me in January.
Well, I mean, it is going to be one of those things where if they go like 1-16, they're going to be like, ha, in your face, Andy.
Right.
Oh, 0-17. Yeah. How? Look at that. 1 in the win column. In your face.
You got me. You're right. 1-16 is way off. I was so dumb, moron.
So this is a throwaway year, right? I mean, are we looking at this as a throwaway year?
It matters. Remember Gerard in the preseason said it doesn't count, but it matters. Now it counts and it matters.
Yeah.
It matters to develop young talent. And that young talent.
Okay, but in terms of the standings and the competitiveness and all of that, it's a throwaway year.
Yeah, they're not trying to win.
Right.
Rod told you that. Do you remember?
That they're not trying to win?
I can get the audio from the first press conference
that it
where
doesn't
he said.
Well, Kraft said that, too. It's not really about wins and losses this year. He also said that.
Gerard literally said, we're going to win some games. Now, whether that's this year or next year, I don't know. He told you the wins might have to wait a year. Mm-hmm. And when I say developing young players, I'm including in my mind about 4 to 6 players who will be starting their seasons sometime between tonight and Sunday for college football programs.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Will Campbell. I'm talking about, you know, another wide receiver, an edge rusher, a second corner. Like, there are guys that aren't on the Patriots that I think are a part of this foundation, because when you pick at the top of every round, like ESPN and I both agree, they are going to pick at the top of every round. Actually, mm-hmm. not the first round, because I actually believe they're going to trade down from number 1 to number 5, because they're going to, some sucker that wants a QB, wants Shedeur Sanders, will give them a boatload. But they're going to utilize all that on the core. The core is this year and next year. You're building the core. And then whatever you money-hungry people get in free agency, because mm-hmm. they're going to do that too. It's going to be a ridiculously different team at this time next August. I don't rule out now embracing the Houston Texans. Why can't we turn this around in a year? But now it's this year. It's like from now to next, the beginning of next season.
Yeah.
They're not going to be good this year.
Texter says, and this is a good question, Texter up in Maine says, can you please explain how the Patriots ended up with such a difficult schedule in the league when they sucked so bad last year?
Joe Burrow got hurt. You got a last place game against the Bengals.
Yep.
That hurts. Justin Herbert and the Chargers are a last place game, although mm-hmm. most of us probably don't think of that as a last place team. And the rotational nature of the schedule.
Right.
Very, very little of the NFL schedule is based on your wins and losses.
It's that's only like a couple of those
two
games.
Right, yeah.
And also their division's really good. You know,
so and their division is too, very good and has gotten better because Aaron Rodgers is playing instead of Zach Wilson.
Yep.
And there was another preseason list. I think I sent it to you, but I don't have it open right now.
Oh, yeah, right.
They have the toughest quarterback schedule in the National Football League. Mike Sando from The Athletic breaks it down all numerically by tiers and numbers and statistically. I mean, I could have told you this superficially, but he put it into numbers. They have the toughest opposing quarterback schedule in the NFL. Another reason why I worry about Christian Gonzalez and just assuming he's going to be the second coming of Sauce Gardner or something.
Yeah, that's certainly fair. Let me see if I can pull that up. I am not subscribed to The Athletic, so you may have to do it.
Oh, I'll do that.
Let's see here. I'm looking at it right now. Maybe I got one of those free clicks. I was reading it earlier, so I think I do. All right, here we go. Yeah, I do. All right. Number one, New England Patriots. 2.27 average QB tier. Patriots had the second toughest QB schedule last season, and it's only gotten tougher. Injuries to Burrow and Herbert last season doomed those quarterbacks' team to fourth place finishes. That wasn't the Patriots' problem, but it is now. The formula used to determine each team's 17th opponent means the Patriots also face Caleb Williams, one of the most promising rookie quarterbacks in years. Here's their strength by tier average. Week 1, Joe Burrow, tier 1. Week 16 and 18, Josh Allen, tier 1. Week 11, Matthew Stafford and the Rams, tier 2. Week 17, Justin Herbert, tier 2. Aaron Rodgers, week 3, tier 2. Rodgers again in week 8. C.J. Stroud, week 6, tier 2. Brock Purdy, tier 2. Is that too high for Brock Purdy, by the way?
No.
No?
Okay. All he does is win, win, win.
Sure, his team wins.
Quarterbacks get credit for wins. That's the way it worked.
Tua Tagovailoa, tier 3. Trevor Lawrence, tier 3. Kyler Murray, tier 3. Geno Smith and Caleb Williams, tier 3. The only tier 4 guys they have are Will Levis in the Titans, week 4, and Anthony Richardson and the Colts in week 13.
Anthony Richardson, who, love him, hate him, take him, leave him, our friend in the morning show, Chris Scheim, has wagered will be the NFL MVP this year.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I missed that. I didn't. That's a bold claim. That's
Chris
a bold
Scheim,
prediction.
Whose claim
I bet there is some big juice on that.
Oh, yeah. And his claim to fame is he picked Lamar Jackson to be the MVP the first time he won it.
Okay, well, Lamar Jackson's...
But he wasn't at the time. It was his first season as a starter.
Okay. Yeah, but Scheim also picked Drake May to be Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Yeah, well, all right. That one may not...
It's not impossible
might not cast
yet.
That ticket, but okay.
No, no, no. Josh Allen didn't start week one, but he had 15 starts after that, so Drake may get the starts necessary. Now, I don't know if the rest of the team will be up to par to allow him to win such an award, but don't give up on that yet.
Texters are also saying R can't stop being such a food snob.
Yes.
Because I don't like cinnamon and cocoa in my chili. I mean, come on.
No, but you've come
that
off
makes
as
me,
a
that
food
makes me
snob.
A food snob. I'm a big food. I love eating. All right?
I love eating, too. You don't sound like you do.
I do. I just don't like Cincinnati
you
hot dog chili or whatever
something appetizer-wise
it is.
That I liked. What did you poo-poo? You wanted your mozzarella sticks instead.
Yes, mozzarella sticks, which is, by the way, not snobby to like mozzarella sticks.
No, mozzarella sticks, as I said, are for five and under.
Indeed. I also like jalapeno pie. I like most appetizers. I forget what it was that you said.
You poo-pooed something.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember. Anyway, let's go to the phones here. 617.
Move on.
It'll come to me. 617-779-7937. Sorja is in Mansfield. Go ahead, Sorja.
What's going on, guys? How are you today? How you doing?
So I think
in terms of this rebuild, right, we're making a lot of comparisons to the Houston Texans. So if you really look at it from 2020 to 2022, right, they didn't win more than four games, right? They absolutely crushed on drafting, right? They got, like, you know, Nico Collins in the third round. People forget they picked Will Anderson Jr. With the third pick last year.
Right, they picked second and third. They got Stroud and Willie Anderson. They had Collins the year before, but he wasn't that good. And they got Tank Dell last year in the third round, who ended up being a stud before he got hurt. So, yes, their draft picks, and they did trade up to take two in the top three, but they did draft.
But you nailed them.
They did, absolutely.
And here's the problem, right? Like, we, you know, Belichick's draft record, it's absolutely horrendous, right? So we're at an all-time deficiency. I think you guys brought up or have seen that report where the Patriots don't have a top 10 personnel player except Kyle Doug. So for me, I think you kind of want the Patriots to be bad, right? You know, we've been at the mountain, top of Everest for years. And I don't think that, like, if the Patriots go 8-9, I don't think that's a great recipe, because already Drake May's not starting, so we're not going to see. I just hope that we see Drake May this season, because it doesn't make sense to me that you would get a number three overall pick and not start it, right? Houston took Davis Mills in 2020 or 2021.
Yep, in like the third round or something.
Yep, sucked with him so that they could get Stroud. For me, you know what you're going to get with Brissett. You know you're not going to get anywhere with Brissett. And I know that the O-line critique is a very, you know, it makes sense. The O-line sucks. We know that.
It does. Thank you, Sergio. We'll let you go there for a while. But let me just put it this way. All right? They drafted Davis Mills. When they drafted C.J. Stroud, they started him. They started him week one. He was the starting quarterback, and he led them to the playoffs, and he won 10 games. And then
you ever hear of Laramie Tunsil?
Yeah, Tunsil's. Tunsil's one of the best tackles in the league, sure.
So you protected your asset.
Absolutely.
His backside.
Which is another aspect of this that I wish the Patriots had done differently. But now here's another aspect of it as well. At least they played the quarterback, and they had him out there, and he showed what he could do, and he balled out, and that was one of the maybe the best rookie season any quarterback's ever had.
So let me ask you a simple question.
Now our guy doesn't have the chance to even do that.
Would you rather the Patriots win eight games this year or zero?
Eight.
Why?
Because I want to see. Well, all right. Let me put it this way. I want Drake May to play in them to win eight games. Yes, that's what I'd like to see. Because I know you want him.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you the record.
Fine. If it's Brissett playing, then I'd rather they won zero. If it's Drake May and he goes out there and wins eight games and turns them from a four-win team to an eight-win team, I would consider that a very positive step forward. I know you won't get another top five pick the next year, and you won't get your Jamar Chase. You can get him some other way, or you can trade into the top 10 if you need to get a wide receiver. That's all very possible to do. I'd like to see some progression here. I'd like to see Drake May turn the team around and start going in the right direction. I don't want to wait a year.
Yeah, I want to see them pick in the top five of the draft. I think that is the fast track. And I know people, it's a loser. It's just reality. It's just the way it
works.
That's
probably what's going to happen. I just don't want to see.
Yeah, and that's the best thing that can happen. And you're right. In my mind, the best thing that can happen is they win whatever, single digits, get the top pick or the top two pick with Drake May making some plays, with Drake May rolling out. Hell.
Well, the best thing that happens is that they become the Houston Texans. I mean, that's the best thing that happens. They go from four wins to 10 wins and make the playoffs. We're talking about hypothetically the best thing.
I actually don't think that would be the best thing.
No.
Because they don't have enough young talent. I don't think that would be the best thing.
If they get to the playoffs, then who cares? I mean, honestly, like, if they get to the playoffs,
I'm with Gerard, do what you want to do. I'm with Gerard Mayo. I'm trying to build something special. And you don't build something special with smoke and mirrors and Vidarian Lowe as your left tackle.
Texans don't have something special right now?
Yeah, they have a lot more talent than you do.
Okay, but it's not like Nico Collins was some stud wide receiver before Stroud got there.
No, but he was good, and the quarterback
made him. And
now
he's gotten good. The quarterback made him better.
Sure. Made him.
Right.
And you had a left tackle, and you had the defensive rookie of the year. They don't have those
things. Stroud might
have
made those guys, okay? So, I mean, you could put it that way, too.
He didn't make Laramie Tunsil.
No, he didn't make Tunsil, but he did make Nico Collins, and Tank Dell, I don't know if he would have been good here in New England with Mac Jones. So, I mean,
Tank Dell's a pretty good player, but Nico Collins is a direct beneficiary probably of Dell and Stroud.
That's
adding another receiver
probably true,
and also having a better quarterback. But
I actually think that would be bad. If they won 10 games this year
and made the playoffs,
and made the playoffs,
that's a hot take.
And then had no ability to add high end talent moving forward. Now they can still sign. They're still going to have money.
Yeah, they're still going to have $40 million high end talent.
That you're still going to be bitching. The best way for them to do it is to sign $150 million worth of talent in March and then draft in the top five in April. And guess what we're talking about next year? The best turnaround in the history of football. Has anyone ever gone from 0-17 to 17-0? I'll answer it for you. They have not.
That's true. They have not. I know. That's my plan. I did not have to look that one up.
Hart for New England Patriots Nation president in 2024.
All right. 617-779-790. You're channeling Fitzy right there. 617-779-790.
No, he's too down. I'm more
that positive. That is the phone number. When we come back, college football starts tonight. My Buffaloes are in action. And if you're scouting some of the talent for next year, this may be a game to watch. We'll get to that next.
Forgiven, shoulder to shoulder, we will fight.
Didn't we talk about you
Colorado
singing?
Colorado Bowl. What?
We talked about you singing.
Yeah.
Or more like not singing.
Yeah, well, you know what? You don't want me to sing? Then
I don't.
You can cover your ears, or you can go out in the hallway or something like that.
Okay,
if you don't like my lyrical stylings of the Colorado fight song, which my Buffaloes, a black and yellow stampede, is heading towards North Dakota State tonight. And watch out. It is going to be, I hope, at least a good start to the year for my Buffs.
I took
despite
the
fact I'm not happy with my team, I'm not happy with the head coach. I think that banning that reporter, if you don't know about this, Deion Sanders banned a reporter from the Denver Post from coming into the locker room and asking any questions because he was mean to him. Oh, he was mean to Coach Prime, which I think is softer than freshly fallen snow. I honestly think that's one of the softest things you can possibly do, especially a guy like Deion Sanders, by the way, who's not exactly someone who shies away from criticizing others. You know, like give it a rest there, Deion. You know, you're very quick to call out the NCAA. You're very quick to call out other teams, other programs, guys on your own team, players on other teams, things like that. And now some reporter at the Post starts needling you a little bit, and you ban him? That's ridiculous. Anyways, the Colorado Buffaloes do have, whatever you think about them, whatever you think about Coach Prime there, they do have some high-end talent on this team, and they do have some guys, at least one, who a lot of people in these early 2025 NFL draft projections are saying may go in the top 10, top 5, maybe even top 3 if we're talking Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders. We'll see what kind of seasons they actually have. But with college football starting right now, we all know, all right? I mean, I'm not going to pretend like this is going to be some very serious college football segment here because I know the audience we're talking to, and I know that college football in this area is just not very popular.
However, UNH is playing tonight in Orlando.
Listen. Good for them, and I'm a big fan of UNH, but I don't think that...
I took the 39.5.
Hey, me too. That's a very big number for Central Florida. But yeah, I like UNH. I covered them when I worked for ESPN New Hampshire, and I think it's a great program and sort of everything else. And I understand that college football around these parts is not a very big thing. It's not a big moneymaker, and it's certainly not a big talker. But if you're a Patriots fan who believes that this is going to be a lost season, a season that you can just basically give up on after week one, and I think the announcement this morning has driven a lot of people in that direction, you should be watching this college football season. Mm-hmm. You should be scouting these guys out. You should be looking around and thinking, who's going to work on this team? Because it's not like it was before, where you didn't really care. All right, you know, Gronkowski in Arizona. Never heard of him. Let's see if he works. Oh, wow, Tom Brady and him are the two best connection in the history of sports. How about that? You know, it doesn't really matter. I don't know. I don't know much about this guy, Seymour. I don't know much about this guy, who's the other kid? Nate Solder, another Colorado guy, right? You know, there's plenty of guys that were drafted in the first round over the year. Who's this linebacker Mayo from Tennessee? Never heard of him. Let's see if he's any good. And it didn't really matter because you had Tom Brady and you were going to be there in the AFC Championship game, mostly no matter who you drafted. And now that's all over. Now it's all over. Now, Patriots fans, you got to be college football fans. You got to start watching these games. You got to start scouting these players. You got to start remembering these names. I would suggest, and this is just for me to you, just a little piece of friendly advice, maybe go out and purchase that NCAA video game. All right? That's a very easy way to sort of scroll through all the rosters, see who's good, see who's rated high, see who maybe the Patriots could look at with their first overall pick next season.
You're pimping video games
that
now?
Type
you getting
thing.
Paid for this?
I'm just saying. I don't think a lot of people here are really all that in tune with college football. So I'm saying a good way to get up to speed on that, maybe to go out and get the game and scroll through the rosters and see who's who and what's what and what teams are good and what players are good.
Or just watch the big teams.
That too.
Watch
LSU for Will Campbell, your left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Texas has a left tackle. I forgot his name, but watch Texas. You want to watch it anyway. Also has Quinn Ewers, who will be in the mix in the, of quarterbacks, which could affect your draft pick situation, trades, whatever. Watch Colorado, that has a quarterback and a slash wide receiver cornerback
yes.
that could be in the mix. Watch Michigan, that has a top cornerback that in a mock draft, Field Yates already used a pick on, I believe it's Will Johnson, their corner. Patriots taking Will Johnson.
I saw
Johnson.
That. I hated that, by the way.
Hated
oh,
it.
Did
Couldn't
I hate
it
that
more.
So much.
Oklahoma has a elite pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a bunch of edge rushers in this draft class or projected draft class coming up. But most of the elite talent, yeah, just watch Texas, Oklahoma. Probably wouldn't hurt to watch Georgia. They usually have a lot. Oh, Carson Beck is going to be in the mix as the
Absolutely.
Number one pick, the quarterback.
Texas has a bunch of good receivers every year, it seems like.
Right.
So if that's
Ohio
what you're looking
State
for,
has
Ohio
supposedly
State.
A stud receiver.
Definitely.
I believe he's a freshman, so he won't be in this draft class. But, yeah, just watch the big schools. And when the announcer when Kirk Herbstreit says, this guy's the best player on the team, perk up. See if he's going to be draft eligible this year.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to our good friend AJ in Dover. Go ahead, AJ.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, AJ?
Not too much. Just about to start my work day.
There you go. What's on your mind?
A little under the weather. I'm not surprised at all by him announcing May as not being the starter in Jacoby. And I just think that an underrated part of all this is, like, I think that, the underrated part of this is that their drafts moving forward, I think that they need to be in a position where they.
All right.
Thanks for the call, AJ. Appreciate it.
And I say
sure,
that
sure
with
exactly
actually no
with
credibility because I don't thank you for the call because you didn't take it anywhere.
I didn't know where he was going with that. And I like AJ. He was
confused or distracted or drugged.
He said he was under the weather.
Yeah, so
it sounded like maybe he was.
Is there like a lot of stuff going around? Do I need to be worried? Because you're hacking like a. If I get sick, I'm going to be mad.
Well,
I don't like being sick.
If
I'm
you
a baby.
Get sick, it's 100% because of me. Because yes, I've
been coughing up a lung every break for 3 days.
I don't think I have any lungs left. I think all of my lungs are in the garbage here and at the Fenway Studio, which is gross.
It's not what I'm looking for. I'm feeling really good, really healthy, really strong. Mm-hmm. I don't need your crap. So keep your. Maybe you need a mask. Put a mask on. Mask up, bro.
Maybe you need a mask.
Oh, I don't like masks.
Yeah, well.
MAGA heart don't wear no mask.
I guess we're at a standoff then. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will revisit something Rob Ninkovich said on the Greg Hill Show this morning. That's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.